Welcome everybody to Wednesday night service at Grace Community Church. Thank y'all for coming out, the ones that are here, and thank y'all for tuning in if you're watching online. Still be in prayer for all the people that are sick. There's still a lot of people sick out there. I know of one family that has COVID and they're doing really rough. They're both in the hospital, so just keep up your prayers for the people that are sick. I hope you're having a good week so far, but let me open us up in a word of prayer and we'll just get right into the message here. Father, thank you for giving me the strength to get up here and preach tonight. Thank you for helping me through my day. And Lord, I just lift up all the people that are sick right now, the ones that are in the hospital or those that are at home sick. I just pray that you would comfort them, Lord, in their sickness, and I pray that you would help them through it. I thank you, Lord, for the message you laid on my heart for tonight. And I just pray that you would bless it, Lord. And I pray that you'd soften hearts and open ears and minds to receive what it is you have to say to us. And Lord, we just turn it over to you. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if you was here last week, we talked about choosing obedience. You know, obedience don't just happen. We have to choose to be obedient to God, and we have to choose to obey God even when it's not the easy thing to do. You know, God don't want us to just take the easy route. He wants us to take the right route. And we talked about really thinking about our decisions before we actually make them, and how we can actually make a better future for ourselves and the other people in our lives if we'll just simply look ahead and see where those decisions are going to take us. The decisions that we're making today, where are they going to lead us? And we talked about, you know, stopping and take the time to think about it. And, you know, okay, if I do this today, what's it going to look like tomorrow or next week or next year? You know, is this a good decision for me or for my family or for my job or, you know, whatever that might be? Is this going in the direction I want it to go? And even more important, does the decision I'm fixing to make, does it line up with God's word? And would this decision be in obedience to God, or would it be in disobedience to God? And we talked about how every decision that we make, a good or bad decision, is planting seeds in our lives that will grow, and one day we will reap the harvest for them, good or bad. And I liked that message last week. That's so true in all of our lives. You know, whatever decisions we make, that's what we're stuck with, the consequences that come from them. I think I've told you before, you know, as soon as I finish the message on Wednesday night, I start praying and asking God, you know, okay, Lord, what do you want me to preach on next week? And he usually gives me a really short answer. He don't give me a big long talk about it. Most of the time he'll just give me one verse and it'll keep repeating in my head. And then when I start looking into that one verse that he gives me, he just starts leading me through his word, you know, from here to there. And that's how it turns into message for tonight. And I think God speaks to all of us that way. You know, if God lays a verse on your heart, don't just keep quoting it over and over. Look it up and see what the reference verses are to it, and look those up and see what the context is, you know, surrounding those verses. That's God trying to reveal something to you. I hear a lot of people tell me they have a hard time. They don't know where to read in the Bible or don't know what to read in the Bible. If God just gives you one verse and you follow all the references that go along with it, then he'll lead you all through the Bible. And that's how you get familiar with the Bible. And that's how you learn things. And if there's key words in there, look up those key words in the verses in a concordance and see what the meaning is in that verse. You know, God's word says that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if he's laying something on your heart, if he's laying a verse on your heart, look into it and see what God's trying to show you. God speaks to all of us, but we have to get into his word and follow where he leads us in it to get to see what he's saying to us. And then, like we talked about last week, we have that, once we do see what God's trying to say to us, we have that choice to be obedient and follow, you know, what God is leading us to, or we can make that choice to dismiss it and just go our own way. I don't know who that was for, but it was for somebody. God laid it on my heart to share with you. You know, that's how we dig deeper into God's word. It always starts with just one verse, and then we just follow where God leads us to from there. So that didn't really have anything to do with the sermon tonight, but like I said, God laid it on my heart to share that, and I hope that helps somebody to be able to read the word better. So like I said, that's how this message came about. The verse he laid on my heart last week for this week, and the title of tonight's message is authority. He actually only gave me one word, but I knew which verse he was talking about. He gave me that word, authority. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 8 is actually the verse that kept coming to my mind. And I'll give you the context of it here in a minute, but Luke 7 and verse 8, it says, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." The context of this is there's a Roman centurion whose servant was sick and he was about to die. And the Bible said he deeply cared for that servant, so he didn't want him to die. And what I love about this story is this guy didn't even go to Jesus himself. It says he just heard about Jesus and, you know, heard all the people talking about him. And his faith was so strong in Jesus that he asked some of the Jewish church leaders to go ask Jesus to heal his servant for him. And then, you know, they went and got Jesus, and they were on their way to his house so Jesus could heal him. And when he heard Jesus was coming to his house, he sent some of his friends out to meet him and to tell Jesus, "No, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just say the words, and I know it will be done." So he believed in and he had faith in the power of Jesus. He had faith in the authority of Jesus because he knew God had given him authority. So that's the context around the verse. I want to read that story to you, though, out of the NLT. It's a lot easier to read from. But just so you'll get the whole picture of it. In Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, it says, "When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. And when the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. 'If anyone deserves your help, he does,' they said. 'For he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us.' So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, 'Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it.' And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, 'I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel.'" So that's pretty amazing. The guy didn't even go see Jesus. He just had that much faith in his authority. You know, Jesus said in verse 9 that, "I haven't found this much faith in all of Israel. All the religious leaders of Israel and all the scribes and the Pharisees and all the Jewish people at that time, they were all the time asking Jesus to prove himself and, you know, give us a sign." In Mark 8, Mark chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. This is an example of that. It says, "And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and says, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." And I think that that's the way a lot of people are today, you know. It said Jesus groaned in his spirit. Jesus left heaven for us, and he died for us on the cross so we could be forgiven of our sins. He made a way for us to be made righteous before God and receive eternal life. And we ask him for a sign. And I think every time that one of God's children, one of his children, doubts the love that he has for us or rejects the love of Jesus, that it groans him in the spirit, like it says there in verse 12. I'm sure that hurts his feelings. Even that we would just doubt him a little bit, I think that would hurt his feelings. Because, I mean, he gave up everything to save us. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, he's talking about verse 37, Travis. I must have wrote down the wrong one. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not." All through Scripture, God is just showing us pictures like that one there of God trying to get people to just come to him and be his children so he can take care of them. And Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest," you know, if you're heavy laden. But just like the children of Israel and the scribes and the Pharisees, all through the Bible, all the way right up to today, people have a problem with authority. I don't think they so much have a problem with Jesus himself. I think people just have got to the point where they have a problem with authority. They don't like anybody telling them what to do. They have a problem with giving control of their lives, any part of their lives, to anybody else, including Jesus. I think the main reason people don't surrender to Jesus as Lord is because they want to be in control. They don't want to give up control. I know a lot of people, they believe in Jesus, they believe in God, they come to church, they do all these things, but we still have areas that we want to control. We're not willing to surrender those to Jesus. And that's where our power comes from. It's from his authority, not ours. So that's what we're going to speak on tonight. We all want the power of God in our lives when we're going through a hard time or dealing with something, but a lot of times we just want the blessing of God. We want God's help, but we're not willing to be under his authority. We want the privileges of the kingdom without actually making him king, without becoming a citizen of the kingdom. And I looked up the definition of kingdom in the Strong's Concordance, and it means anywhere the king has dominion, anywhere that the king has rule, or anywhere that the king is obeyed. It was a pretty long definition, but most of it was referring to our hearts. You know, our hearts being submissive to Jesus as Lord and recognizing his authority as Lord and surrendering our will to his and giving him control instead of trying to always keep control for ourselves and work things out the way we want to work them out. What the Roman centurion recognized was that Jesus didn't have that authority on his own. Even Jesus was submissive to the Father. He was given authority by the Father because he was submitted to his will. He didn't do his own will. He said repeatedly through the Gospels, if you read through them, that I do the will of my Father. I don't do my own will. And if we want God's power in our lives, we have to surrender our will to the authority of Christ. And God gives us power through Christ. This was one of the verses in a sermon we did a couple of months ago, I think it is. But in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, God gives us power. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when we surrender our will to Christ under his authority, God gives us power, and we become daughters and sons of God. We become the citizens of the kingdom, like we talked about just a second ago. We become citizens of the kingdom because God has rule and reign in our hearts, and we have the rights of a citizen. Once we surrender to Christ, then we have the rights of a citizen of the kingdom of God. We have the rights to the promises of God because we belong to him and we're obedient to him. We have the right to his protection as a father. You know, we have the right to his provision as a provider, to his help when things are hard. You know, we have a right to the benefits of God because we belong to God. We are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and we live under the authority of Jesus as our Lord. So when we surrender to Christ, we just don't get salvation. We get protection, we get provision, we get all those things. But we have to stay under his authority. We have to be obedient to God. You know, I wrote this down. If I'm a citizen of White Pine, and I obey the laws of White Pine, and I pay my land taxes and everything in White Pine, then I can call the White Pine police when I need help or protection, and they'll come and help me, and they'll protect me. Or I can call the White Pine Fire Department if my house is on fire, and they'll come and put my house out for me. But, you know, if I live in Sneedville, and I call them in White Pine when I'm in trouble, they're going to tell me I got the wrong number. They're going to be like, that's not our problem. You don't belong to us. You know, you need to call White Pine. But if I move there to White Pine and recognize their authority and surrender to their laws and become a citizen there, then I'm under their authority and under their government and under their protection. And I know that's a kind of a stupid illustration, but that's the same way with the kingdom of God. When we submit ourselves to the authority of God, he don't just give us a list of things that we can't do anymore. He adopts us as his children. We become part of God's family, and he takes care of us. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, that's what he's talking about, is us becoming sons and daughters of God. It says, for as many are led by the Spirit, you know, once we surrender our lives to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit that comes along with that, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So God calls us his children and calls us joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself. All we have to do is be his son or be his daughter. You know, just be submissive to him and recognize his authority as our father. We can't live like the world, like disobedient children, and expect blessings from God, from our father at the same time. We have to be submissive to our father. That's just like an earthly father, an earthly mother in our family. You know, you don't get blessed for disobeying. You don't get blessed for doing the wrong thing. You know, if they tell you to clean your room and you don't do it, and they told you they'll give you $5 if you clean your room, if you don't do it, you can't expect the $5 because you were disobedient and you didn't do what your father or your mother asked you to. A good illustration of that is in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And we've covered these quite a bit in the last few months too. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So we can't live for the world and live for God. Like that verse right there says, if our loyalty is divided, we're going to be unstable in everything we do, and we can't expect any help from God if he's not the authority in our lives. If we're still in control and we still have the authority, then that we take God out of the equation ourselves. We have to respect God as our Father and actually do the things that he says to do in order to expect a blessing from him. The Bible, it also pictures our relationship with Jesus like a marriage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul's telling the church, he said, you know, I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. So we're supposed to be the bride of Christ. And he wants to present us as a pure bride with one husband, a totally devoted bride, and not like an adulteress that's not devoted completely to one husband or one God in this case. You know, that don't work in natural marriage. I don't know how we think it should work in a spiritual marriage. You know, if we're not faithful to God, but we expect faithfulness back from him, God is always faithful. If our relationship is damaged, it's always unfaithfulness for some part on our part, because God is always faithful. So we have to not have that divided loyalty we just talked about. We have to be completely loyal and wholly committed to God and faithful to God. And just like in a marriage, we have to stop complaining and lusting after things of the world that we think we're doing without, or we think would be better, or that we don't have, and just be thankful that we have each other. Be thankful that we have God. Be thankful that he is our Lord and he is our provider. Like I just said, God is faithful and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what it's talking about in these verses. This is one of my favorite verses. I've told you before in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. So don't go around coveting, you know, all the things other people have and looking down on the blessings that you have yourself. Be satisfied with the things that God has blessed you with. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we should be satisfied just knowing that we belong to the Lord, and he is going to take care of us like he says he will. And he will always be there to help you, as long as you're faithful to him. So God is faithful to us, so we have to be faithful to him. You know, life is hard. We need God's help to get us through things life throws at us. I mean, every day somebody's going through something. It's either physical sickness or, you know, financial hard times, emotional hard times. Everybody is going through something all the time. I mean, when you get over one thing, there's another thing right behind it, it seems like. And I don't think anybody is exempt from that. We all have hard times, and we all need help. And Jesus knew that too. He knew life was going to be hard for us. That's why he said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So even when the hard times come, you know, Jesus is saying, just stay under the protection of my authority. I've already overcame all those things. And you can have peace in the middle of those hard times. Without Jesus, you know, hard times get even harder. They become, sometimes we think they're even impossible. And they may be without God. But with God, the Bible says all things are possible. And we can even have peace in the middle of those times. So Jesus says, you're going to have trouble, but cheer up. And if you're under my authority, I'll help you through these things. Seems like for the last few weeks, every time I get to the end of a message, I wind up with a question to ask you. You know, last week I asked you, what are you planting? And, you know, what's that going to look like when it grows up? And ask you, which direction am I going? Do I need to change direction? This week, the question is simple, and only you and God know the answer to this. I mean, nobody else can see this, but you and God, you're the only two that know the true answer to this. Are you under God's authority? Are you under the authority of Christ? Have you surrendered your whole life to Christ? You know, are you a citizen of the kingdom? And are you entitled to the benefits of the kingdom? Are you entitled to all the blessings that God has for us? Is he really the Lord of your life, or are you still in control of some of the areas of your life? There is, like I've just been saying this whole time, there is power for us if we're under authority, under Jesus Christ's authority. You have all of, if you are under his authority, you have all of heaven on your side if you belong to Jesus. You have the whole kingdom of God on your side if you belong to Jesus. But are you really surrendered to him? Do you really belong to him? I told you before, this was one of the verses that really got my attention. I remember we were still meeting in the Piedmont school, and Josh asked me what was my favorite verse that morning while we were sitting up. And for some reason, that verse came to my mind. I told him Luke 6:46. And that day, that verse really got my attention. You know, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And as soon as I told him that, you know, I got really convicted, because I was thinking about all the things in my life that I knew were wrong, but I were doing them anyway. So that was a big turning point for me. Why do I call you Lord and still do the things I do? And I didn't want to be like that anymore. So that was the day things started to turn around for me. I want to share this verse with you. I'll share it with you in the King James and the NLT. This is a really good verse. It got my attention too. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, the King James says, "There are people that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." And in the NLT, it says the same people, but it says, "They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. There's people that want to come to church and look godly and go through all the motions, but they never surrendered to God. So they don't have the power. They reject the power that could make them godly. Like I said, it's always good to go back and see what the context is. The kind of people that he's talking about there in 2 Timothy 3, it tells us in verses 1 through 4. Paul is telling Timothy, he said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. And they will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And then back to verse 5, it says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. And it seems like since we've came back from COVID, that verses 1 through 4 are, I see a lot of people that didn't used to act like that, acting like that. You know, we're denying the power that God freely gives us if we'll stay under his authority and live the way that he tells us to live. You know, there's no power in looking godly. When life falls apart, you know, that mask that you're wearing, it can't help you. It does not help you. When your home's falling apart or your job goes down the tubes or your health gets bad or your marriage or your kids, whatever it might be, you know, when things start falling apart like that, you know, putting a pretty post on Facebook can't help you. You know, wearing a mask and acting like you got it all together, that can't help you. But Jesus can help you if you're under his authority. I want to share this one story with you in the book of Acts. God actually put a story in his word that paints us a picture of what it looks like to claim the name of Jesus without being under his authority. In Acts chapter 19, I'll just read the story to you. It's kind of funny, I think, but but it's true. I see that in our daily lives a lot, that people are, you know, they're taking for granted the name of Jesus instead of surrendering him to have the power in their lives that they need. They think they can be just like the verse we just read and just have that form of godliness, just look godly, and that doesn't help us. So in Acts 19, starting in verse 11, it says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. To give you some backstory on this, they were doing it to make money. You know, Paul was doing it through the power of God. He was following Christ. But there were people at that time that would lie and say they had that power, and they would go tell somebody, you know, perform an exorcism on them for money. And they tried to use the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, in their exorcisms. So it says a group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits, and they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. See, they didn't say Jesus Christ my Lord or Jesus Christ that I know. They said who Paul preaches to come out. So they knew they didn't belong to him. And it says seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. So those evil spirits, they knew who Paul was because he was surrendered to Christ. And when we surrender to Christ, you know, the Bible says he writes our names down in the book of life. And Jesus and God, they're not the only ones that know who's in that book. If you belong to God, the demons of hell know you belong to God. And at the name of Jesus, they're afraid of you because you belong to Christ. So those evil spirits knew who Paul was before he surrendered, or because he was surrendered to Christ, and he was under Christ's authority, and he had Christ's authority. But I think all too often, we try to do like those guys did, and we try to fight our enemies in the name of Jesus without being under the authority of Jesus, without being surrendered to him. And just like them, you know, I've experienced this in my life. Life will give us a whipping, and it'll beat us up and throw us out naked. And I wound up like that a lot before I surrendered my life to Christ. I was trying to fight battles that only Jesus can fight for us. So if life is hard right now, and I know it is, you know, if things ain't working out, ask yourself, am I really surrendering this to Jesus, you know, whatever it might be? You know, a lot of y'all know one of my biggest battles was my drinking, and I was asking for help. I was had all kinds of people wanting to help me, but I hadn't surrendered it. I still wanted to, when nobody was looking, I still wanted to do my thing. I hadn't surrendered nothing to Jesus. So all I was doing was getting beat up and cast out naked, just like those guys did. But when I surrendered to Christ, he came in and he did fight that battle for me. And I didn't have to fight it anymore. That was his. And he took that from me. And I'm very grateful for that. So are you really, whatever that problem is, are you surrendering it to Jesus and trusting his authority? Or are you taking control of it and trying to do this on your own authority? You know, we talked a while back about staying connected to the vine. Jesus is our strength. You know, if we're not connected to the vine, we dry up spiritually, and we don't have any strength. So that's the verse I want to close with tonight. I know you're all familiar with it. We just did that study a while back on Christ being the vine and we're the branches. But in John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So let's stay submitted to Jesus under his authority, so we will have that power as the sons and the daughters of God that God's word promises he'll give us if we just stay submitted to his authority. When we surrender to Christ, he places his Holy Spirit within us and gives us power and wisdom that we don't have without him. So we need to stay connected to the vine, and we can be the overcomers that he says we can be. Like we just read a while ago in John 15:33. We're going to have trouble in this world, but God, or Jesus said he has overcome the world. It's something he's already done. He says, I have overcome the world, not I will overcome it. He will return one day to get us, but he has already overcome the world. He's already overcome any obstacle that we're facing. But we have to bring it to him and surrender it to him under his authority. We're not strong enough on our own to overcome these things. So that's all I've got for tonight. So I hope that really helped somebody. It made such a huge difference in my life when I quit asking for help, knew I needed help, trying to get help, trying everything in the world but surrendering to Christ. And once I surrendered to Christ, that was all the help I needed. He gives me wisdom. He gives me provision when I need it. You know, nothing goes wrong that I don't have the money for. And that has been true since day one. There's no problem that I've had that he's not helped me through. There's no answer I needed that he didn't have. And I know he'll do the same for you, like we read back in Romans. He makes us joint heirs with Christ. Everything that, Christ has is available to us if we simply be obedient and stay under his authority. So I hope that really helps somebody. And I thank y'all again for coming out. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you again for the message you put on my heart this week. I thank you for the strength you gave me to get up here and preach it tonight. And Lord, I just pray for everybody that has heard this message, the ones that are here, the ones that are tuning in online, and the ones that will hear it in the future. Lord, I pray that their hearts will be open to receive it. And if there's areas of their life, Lord, that need to be surrendered to you, I pray that they will do that, Lord, and walk in obedience and receive the blessings that you have for them. And Lord, I pray if they've never surrendered their life to you and received you as Lord, that today would be the day that they do that. And I pray that they would receive your Holy Spirit and salvation and be born again, like your word says. Father, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.